Well, I don't know. If you're a Montanan like me, or maybe you just moved here recently. You have to do your best to have some fun in the wintertime. Some people just absolutely live for it, though. And that's really cool. Lot of opportunities for winter fun out there. Like skiing, snowmobiling, and avoiding avalanches. I was just looking at some avalanche stuff the other day. It scares me. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Today, we're going to go to Whitefish Mountain Ski Resort. Talk about this soon-to-be opening, this new six-person chairlift known as the Snow Ghost Express. Yep. And then later on, how about some snowmobiling? We'll talk with Cliff Walter from the Montana Snowmobile Association, the Great Falls Snowmobile Club there. Lots of events, trails, and we'll find out what's new in this popular and sometimes underappreciated winter sport of snowmobiling. That's today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Snowman Tom Schultz.
Thank you. Can I call you Skippy? You just look
you got
happy
it.
Skippy there. Way to go. Cody, thank you. Appreciate that. And I hope you're... can I call you Skippy today, too? I hope you're happy. I hope you're doing good. I know we're getting into the holiday spirit here in the holiday season. I hung some lights up just the other day. I'm not like... that's not something I do on a regular basis, but I'm glad that I got, like, maybe prodded is the right word to get that done. It was really cool. I hope you guys are having a good holiday and plans are coming together for family here. Are you going skiing? Are you going, like, let's go over to Western Montana. Let's go to Northwestern Montana. Let's go to the Big Mountain, Whitefish, Montana. How about that? Let's turn that phone off. And then welcome Chad Sokol. Chad is the public relations manager for Whitefish Mountain Resort on Big Mountain since 1947. How you doing, Chad?
Hey, Tom, I'm doing well.
Good. Thanks for being here. So, what's the weather up there? You got skiers on the mountain today?
We do. We've got skiers up on the mountain. It is nice and chilly today. We opened on December 8th, last Thursday, and what an opening day it was.
You getting snow?
Yeah, we've had an inch or two here and there since the start of the season, but we were really lucky. Unlike the past few years, we started the season with well over 4 feet of snow piled up at the summit and a really good blanket over the whole mountain. So we were able to open a ton of terrain, a ton of chairlifts, and really let people just explore the mountain from the get-go.
Well, and that's really cool because there's a lot to explore there. How big is that resort?
Yeah, we have about 3,000 acres of terrain, roughly 11 chairlifts. And we've got a T-bar too, a magic carpet. So lots of opportunities for people to explore named runs, you know, wide open groomers, as well as get into the trees and those powder stashes. So lots of opportunities.
On a busy day, how many skiers, and maybe that's not even fair to say because not everybody who goes up there is up there to ski. Some are there to kind of watch people ski. But how many skiers on an average day, Chad, and how many people on an average day?
You know, it varies a lot. I can say this opening day we set a new record with just shy of 3,900 skier visits. So we're pretty excited about that. And again, we chalk that up to good weather this year, good snowpack, and a lot of excitement about not only our 75th anniversary this year, but also our new six-pack chairlift. Like you mentioned, the Snow Ghost Express. That's almost done. It'll be ready by Christmas, and we're really excited to open that thing up.
You guys have been doing a good job, too, of I think, keeping people engaged in that because I don't know that we know what kind of process that is to put up. And this is a huge – it's a six-part – like you say, a six-packer. That moves some skiers up the mountain pretty well. Talk about putting this in.
It's an extraordinary process. Tons of big towers. I'm blanking on the count. I think it's something like 25 towers that have to be flown in with a Black Hawk helicopter. That occurred this summer. This helicopter would make trip after trip to the resort to haul up buckets of concrete and then drop the lift towers onto those foundations. The upper and lower terminals are just massive, massive structures. The bull wheel weighs something like 14,000 pounds. That's, you know, the wheels that spin the haul rope. And then the haul rope weighs, a ton as well. It's a really heavy steel cable. And I don't know how many folks have actually seen this process, but that cable gets spun around each bull wheel, and then the ends of the cable have to be spliced together so it forms a continuous loop with no bumps or bulges. And it's a very intricate, delicate process, but it's also, you know, thousands and thousands of pounds of steel, so it takes a lot of manpower as well. So just a lot of technical work goes into it. This lift by a company called Leitner Palma is also our first. It's called a direct drive motor. So it's the latest and greatest technology in the world of chairlifts. Doesn't require a gearbox, essentially. The motor is directly on the bull wheel, and this thing is just really going to change how folks get around the mountain and utilize some underutilized terrain.
It doesn't have gears?
No, the motor, and I'm no engineer, I couldn't,
right, yeah,
couldn't get into the details, but it's essentially like an electric motor on a car. It is hooked up directly to the axle that spins the cable. Yeah.
Wow, this is cool. Chad Sokol is with us, Public Relations Manager, Whitefish Mountain Resort. You can find out more at skiwhitefish.com. Talk about that process, because as I'm looking at this in this Snow Ghost, this Snow Ghost Express, I should say, you've got like 89 of these six-seat carriers, and you've done some good blogging on this. The most recent was December 6th, where you started talking about how they meld this steel cable together that's going to hold 89 of those six-seat carriers and potentially all 89 of those with six butts in the seat as well. I mean, that's some heavy-duty line there, Chad.
It is, yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's a really, really intricate process where, this steel cable, it's steel strands twisted around a core. The core is removed. One of those strands is fed into the middle, so that becomes the core, and then they're braided in a very, very particular way over over a span of something like 190 feet. So the braided portion of the cable is, 190 feet, and so when it's being pulled, it's very, very strong. And there's very few people in North America and the world who are certified to do that kind of work and make sure that these cables can hold so much weight.
And then you go to test that. And you were thinking maybe next week you get your first testing of this system?
Yeah, it looks like load testing will occur at some point next week. We are working to pin down the days still, but we will make sure everyone's aware of that. Each seat will be just weighed down, and essentially, we'll be trying to make the chairlift fail. And if we're not able to do that, then, we'll go down a long checklist of other safety priorities and make sure it's good to go.
I don't know if you talk about the cost of this type of process. You guys also, I think, last year did some chairlift, reconfiguration. And maybe you can, but the decision to take out one of your chairlifts, chairlift 4, and then replace it with this, and then looking at all the time it takes to get that done. What was that process, Chad? And obviously, I think it says an awful lot about the faith in this this resort.
Yeah. So our priority in all of this is not to be bigger and better, but to make sure that folks can experience this mountain, wide open slopes, beautiful views, short lift lines, make sure that they can do all that, within our permit boundary. We're on the Flathead National Forest, and we have space to work with that we know we can utilize better. So the old Chair 4 was a very small lift. It had been built decades ago, really wasn't living up to its potential. in its spot. And we realized that we had this opportunity to build a six-seater chairlift all the way from the base lodge to the very top of Inspiration, which is, you know, one of our more popular frontside runs. Just gorgeous views of the whole Flathead Valley. And what this lift will accomplish is it will suck people out of the base lodge and take them right up to that more interesting upper terrain without the need for kind of a layover where they would have to take two chairs to get up to the summit. So we think this will alleviate traffic. It'll free up space in our beginner area. It'll really just improve efficiency and make sure folks can have better access to some underutilized terrain on the front side.
Did you guys do the math on it in terms of, I'm sure you did, how many skiers an hour or whatever is it can take advantage of that?
We did. This lift will take 2,200 skiers per hour or up to that number to the top of Inspiration Ridge.
Wow. that's great. I mean, that really is. And I know skiers who, why don't you talk about it? Because there are different levels of skiers. And you talked about some of that unaccessed terrain. I'm curious about that as well. But how different levels of skiing, I think somebody is going to ski and they're going to go nonstop, you know, race down to the bottom of the lift, race back up the top and do it all day long. But that's not everybody's ski experience, is it?
Yeah, we fully expect some folks will just lap this new lift day in and day out, really get a feel for which terrain it provides access to. You know, I think we have a really awesome mountain because, you know, we have skiing on all aspects. From the front side, you know, to the backside to Flower Point, which is it's a separate peak, to the Hell Roaring Basin, which has some of our more expert terrain that folks really, really hunger for early in the season when it's not yet open. So we have just such a variety of terrain, and this just provides one more opportunity to take a ride up, make a decision whether you want to go left or right, backside, front side. You can link up chairs in different ways and really just cover a huge swath of the mountain in very little time.
Right.
And we have really unique opportunities to keep providing that.
And some of these lifts, all right, when you got like a two chair or three chair, maybe even a four chair, you can get four people to kind of line up and not slow down. You don't get six people to line up and the chair comes around and swoops them in motion, do you?
We will, and we'll have measures in place to help folks line up and get comfortable and ready to pop on that lift. We're not expecting any issues with that. It should be a pretty smooth process.
Well, you haven't seen me ski yet. I'm going to have issues lining up. I'm going to have issues like exiting this as well. Is it like super fast up the hill? Like what does it go from, you say the bottom to the top of, what ridge was it again? I didn't write it down.
Inspiration
Ridge. Yeah. Like, so how fast?
So not a fixed grip lift. So it will sort of accordion at the bottom. It's called a detachable lift where the chairs actually become not attached to the cable and they will slow down before reconnecting. And it makes for a very easy loading and unloading experience.
Yeah, I got to see that. And then it'll like, but you'll feel it pick up speed going up that. How long does it take to get from the club to up Inspiration?
It should be under 8 minutes.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. I got some more questions. Can you hang on for a few minutes? Because I want to ask, like, you guys do a ton of fun events. I want to ask, like, some of those favorites and get kind of a calendar sense on what that is as we're talking with Chad Sokol, Public Relations Manager, Whitefish Mountain Resort, as they say, on Big Mountain since 1947. Their 75th season underway here. A bit later on, we'll go snowmobiling with folks from the Great Falls Snowmobile Club. It's a little winter fun today on Voices of Montana.
Montana hospitals make a promise to be the safety net for their communities.
When you're in a car crash 100 miles from a hospital, you hope someone's coming.
Here's Curtis Harper of Logan Health Cut Bank.
A year ago, our county ambulance was at a crossroads. Our local hospital stepped up and said, we'll run it. If we didn't, more than 3,000 square miles would be without an ambulance. We had to figure it out. Today we're saving lives in Cut Bank, and now we're helping along the High Line too.
It's one more way our hospitals are keeping their promise to Montana.
Influenza cases hitting a sharp rise. Brian Bennett will have more. We'll also talk a bit about health care coverage options on the rise for new mothers enrolled in Medicaid. That's ahead on the Northern News Network, which we are a part of. Tom Schultz alongside. 2 decades strong, working on 3. It's from Montana for Montana. We're having a little winter fun. Public relations manager Chad Sokol is with us. We'll do some snowmobiling a bit later on. Chad, this Snow Ghost Express. By the way, how did you name this thing? Who got to name? I mean, that's got to be like it's like a child, right? You got to put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to run down whoever made the final call on that. But Snow Ghost Express obviously is a nod to our snow ghost up on the mountain. Those are all our trees covered in rime ice. They have a very spooky appearance up on the mountain, and so we figured it was only natural to call it that.
And of course, the world famous statue of Jesus still grabs a lot of attention there, huh?
It does.
Yeah. Maybe too much attention in some people's minds. What about the fun, like the hit in the hoot? You guys do a lot of things up there, and you guys have your 75th anniversary. What's going on?
Yeah, we have our whole host of annual events lined up. The torchlight parades on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are always a hit. Plenty of skiing and snowboarding contests and leagues. There's a Skimo league that's touring or uphilling, climbing up the mountain each Wednesday. That's a fun club event. Kids races starting in January in celebration of our 75th anniversary. We'll have some Whitefish Mountain Resort and City of Whitefish historical trivia events. That'll be the third Thursday of January, February, and March at one of our dining facilities called Ed and Mully's up here on the mountain. That should be a fun time. And we're working on a few other anniversary events as well.
What are, if you could, like, characterize the people who ski Whitefish Mountain, and not like to say, but, you know, as opposed to maybe the Big Sky or the Discovery skiers or the Blacktail skiers, who are the folks, what's the character on the mountain when you've got 3,000 skiers?
You know, I think we're lucky to attract a huge variety of people from all over the place. We have families who are, you know, the occasional skiers who get out here once or twice a winter. We have pros and very advanced skiers, locals who've called this mountain home since they were 3 years old, just shredding it up every day, and everyone in between. And so it's really awesome that, you know, this place appeals to so many people, and we want to keep it that way. We try to stay focused on the skier experience, service, value, not a lot of bells and whistles, and that's just how we like it.
What are some of, like, the and I appreciate Whitefish. I think you try to keep it a family resort. I know there's that temptation to, as you say, maybe not be for everyone. I think you guys have kept that focus, and I appreciate it. And part of that, too, is the fact that, as you say, you've been around for 75 years, so you have had people who raised that mountain as much as anybody did.
Exactly, yeah. It's, being so closely intertwined with the city of Whitefish, the Flathead Valley. This place is not just a business. It means a lot to folks who've grown up skiing here and want to make sure that any changes or growth are happening in a responsible, community-friendly way, and we're really focused on that.
Do you guys do any cross country? Is it mostly just all downhill?
You know, there are some cross country trails that are connected to the Whitefish Trail just below us, and those get plenty of use for cross country skiers and snowshoers as well.
All right, what are like one or two of the must hit events for folks? Even they would come from wherever, all over, to get to Whitefish, whether it's 75th anniversary or just something you guys do on a regular basis.
You know, my favorite is always closing day, the pond skim. It's a party. Everyone's in costume, just bombing down the mountain, and, you know, they're trying to see who can glide the farthest across an icy pond, and it's always fun to see folks swipe out. It's always fun to see them ski all the way across and, you know, show off their surfing skills just before we call it quits for the season, so. I think that's my favorite event.
And that's the one that probably grabs a lot of attention, too. There's pictures, like you say, everybody in costume this year. Can I ask, what's a ticket price there?
Ticket price, I believe, is... I apologize, I don't have this in front of me.
Oh, sorry.
We are thrilled to keep our daily lift ticket price below $100 a day. It sounds like a lot, but it is the best value we can offer, and it's way below average, and we really pride ourselves on that. And you know, of course, a season pass, a frequent skier card, those all bring the price down.
Do you get a lot of season pass holders?
Yeah, I don't have this year's tally, but. That's I think really something we rely on is those people who want to come back day after day and
yeah,
practice and get to know the mountain.
Well, and like ski bumming, right?
I'm not sure.
That's what they're
I'm
doing,
not sure how
Chad.
I'm supposed to,
Do you see somebody like the old show Cheers, when Norm would come into the bar and everybody would go, Norm! Is there that ski bum who shows up at Whitefish and when he hits the lounge there, everybody goes, whatever, you know, George!
I think we've got more of those characters than we can count, whether it's the bars up here or in downtown Whitefish. After a long day on the slopes, you know, there are plenty of those folks who whose buddies are there waiting for them.
You're probably a stone's throw away from being one of those characters yourself.
I think we're all pretty close to that up here.
Chad, thanks a lot, man. Have a great season. You got cool things going on. Let me know, okay?
Will do. Thanks, Tom.
Yep, Chad Sokol, Public Relations Manager. Chad from Whitefish Mountain Resort on Big Mountain since 1947. More here on Voices.
Mountain Health Co-op.
Work-based health insurance not working for you and your family? Aware of new tax credits that reduce premiums for dependents? Now's the time to enroll. And if your work-based health insurance isn't working, Mountain Health Co-op has you covered. With benefits like dental and vision exam reimbursement options, many zero cost-share medications, and telehealth access, Mountain Health Co-op can help you start saving on services you use most. Mountain Health Co-op, keeping you covered when it counts.
All right, welcome back. Tomorrow we'll be talking about avalanches, all right? This will be a member of the Gallatin National Forest Avalanche Organization, and I'll get into that a little bit more. Just a few minutes to talk here as Cliff Walters is going to join us. Cliff is with the Montana Snowmobile Association, and I'm couple of things. The snowmobile industry in Montana, I think for some people, it's really, really healthy in certain areas. Obviously, we hear about, you know, the Big Sky and around West Yellowstone. And in fact, some would say that that's probably the best snowmobiling in all of the world, world-class snowmobiling in that area. And it gets a lot of visitation as well. But there is just acres and acres and acres of great snowmobiling across the state of Montana, but only 8% of the state's households are actually snowmobile recreationists. And I always felt like that that's probably a little bit underutilized. There's a lot of clubs, as we'll find out when we talk to with Cliff Walters here in just a little bit. A lot of clubs on the western side of the state, you know, right there at the Continental Divide. Not as many in the east, and in fact, in northeastern Montana, there are no snowmobile clubs at the moment. But I know there's a ton of snowmobilers there, and I think a lot of them you kind of in that area have to have snowmobiles. To get your work done out in Hagland. So that's it's maybe not recreation as more as it is part of your workday schedule. We come on back and talk snowmobiles with Cliff Walters here in just a bit on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
This season, as people gather, do you have the latest COVID protection? The new COVID-19 booster has more, longer-lasting protection and protects against Omicron variants. Even if you've had a COVID booster, it's important to get the new booster now. You can get it 2 months after your last COVID vaccine or booster, and it's available at most doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments in Montana. Visit facebook.com/health406 for more information. Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Thank you for being here. I hope things are good. I hope you're kicking it today. You ever get out in the snow and in the cold and it's wintertime and you just decide, you know what? I'm tired of just huddling up all winter long. I'm going to go out and become a winter recreationist. And then you decide, well, what am I going to do? Maybe it's snowmobiling. Have you ever done even just a little bit of snowmobiling? Isn't it a hoot? Wasn't it just a ton of fun? Could you imagine like doing maybe 60, 70, 80, some of you can, I know, 80, 90 miles on a snowmobile, like maybe take a Trans-Montana trip, something like that. Cliff Walters joins us now. He is with the Great Falls Snowmobile Club, but also part of the Montana Snowmobile Association. And Cliff, thanks for being here. I hope you're doing well. Your story is a bit similar to, like, I guess mine when I started skiing and getting out in the snow. I was such a summer person in Montana, loved it and everywhere and anything that I just kind of holed up through the winter. And then I said, wait a minute, there's some recreation to be had. And that's sort of your story as you and I were talking, and now you're a snowmobiler.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome, everybody. Yes, you know, just by accident, that obligations in life kind of minimize the number of sports we could do, and we bought a cabin in Lincoln, and, geez, they threw in a couple old snowmobiles, and so we hopped on them, and doggone it, the beauty is unreal. And then we progressed from there. So snowmobiling is just, if you ever hear the word two-top in West Yellowstone, there's nothing more beautiful that I've seen on top of the world. You can see the Wyoming Tetons from there, a whitefish up on top of the mountains with the snow ghosts. So kind of where we found our place, so say at age 50, where most people start younger, because it's a learning curve on it. The only thing that maybe, well, you could say the expense of the sport, but it's a danger sport only because of the weather. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go fishing by yourself, you can hunt by yourself, but snowmobiling, you've got to be safe. You've got to have a partner with you. And now we have all the modern technology of radios, and we can have a spot, or we can have an inReach, or we can have a satellite radio. But you get a couple sleds stuck down in a hole, but that's it. Otherwise, it's white, it's beautiful. We're not disturbing anything up there, and we get to the top of most mountains. The new sleds are so easy with starters and hand warmers and seat warmers and so forth. But kind of how we're broke down. We have a Montana Snowmobile Association, and anybody can join it, and they kind of oversee the whole thing. They put on classes, safety classes. And they also train us to give, I'm an instructor for snowmobile safety.
Mm.
They do the avalanche beacons so that you're trained in avalanche, because with these new sleds, they go higher and they're just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they provide, the avalanche beacons at Cook City and West Yellowstone, and we have beacons that here at the Little Belts and in Great Falls out of the Little Belts. They have a scholarship that I'm overseeing. We give $500 each year to a college student, that they just write a letter of whatever our theme is. So we're trying to be a good charity, a good person to every town, because it is so important, that snowmobiling to Lincoln, Steely,
mm-hmm.
West Yellowstone, and Cook City. Those towns just thrive on it. And if you've ever been there in the wintertime, it's like, whoa, what did I just drive into? Because there's way more sleds than there's vehicles in this town.
I have been there in the wintertime, and that's exactly it. In fact, you feel like you're a loner if you're driving a truck almost.
Yeah,
and it's the way to get around. What does the Montana Snowmobile Association do? I mean,
the one of the big ones is they take whatever money that we can raise through any fundraising we have or that, and they provide the groomers that keep these trails. Somebody will say, I don't need to join a club or that because I don't ride the trails. Well, you really do. You can't get to the good stuff without a groom trail to get out of town, whether it be any of the towns we've talked about. And we got clubs in, you know, Eureka, everywhere, Lolo up there, and Wise River and so forth. So they make sure that we have a groomer in each one, and the groomer goes out, and usually the groomer goes out at night so that it's not as necessarily safe for them, but they have all the safety stuff. But they don't want to be out in the daytime, and then a snowmobile comes around the corner and they meet, so there's mm-hmm. nobody out at night. And they just make sure those groomers are running, and they just provide an overseer for all of us, make sure we have insurance and all those good things. But then under that mothership or that umbrella, then we have our local clubs. We have 25 clubs, and then each club operates, and they same thing. They're good community members. The club might have, like this week in Great Falls here, we have Toys for Tots.
Yeah.
We have fun runs. We have something called Movie in the Park that we project a movie up at Moose Park if the weather's conducive. And we sit out there and have a bonfire and just watch a movie. Some people say, well, that's crazy. That's cold. But, you know, the modern world with our clothes and a campfire and good friendship, but we've found so good of friends in our world of snowmobiling. We just can't believe that they like it. And healthy, oh yeah, you know, that what else is a guy like me, and why do we go to a snowmobile? Well, our legs and knees and that get to hurting a little bit. I had a boy come back from Desert Storm, and he said he had one wish, is all of us skied, but boy, after a few years of skiing and that, my knees and quads and that hurt. But just putting a motor on you makes it pretty fun, and I can go with anybody or any ability. And so they do all kinds of things. Like, they make sure the groomer for their club's working. Like, for at this club, they share what's called a three-club cookout. So they have a place called Ant Park in Samar County, which is White Sulphur, and Lewistown, and all the folks meet. And this year, the Great Falls folks will put on the street club cookout. And it's a usual thing, you know, except it's out in the woods. You'll have hot dogs and brats and all the fixings. Next year, Mark County will do it and so forth. They also, one of the biggest things we do is volunteer to keep the trails clean. That means we got to brush it. We might have to hire a machine. We all go out with our chainsaws and open the trails so the groomer can get through, and so none of us hit the trees that fall down. There's so many dead trees out there anymore. Some people like Missoula, they have what's called a rodeo, and it's just a rodeo like in that we see in the NFR, except in this case, it's snowmobile events, obstacle courses, and just you put a different things, just thinking like a rodeo where you got to go out, come back in a certain amount of time, and there's flags you pick up and so forth. And one of the things we do in Lincoln is we have an antique ride. So we take the old 70s sleds, 80s, 60s, and have a day, and we have a clubhouse in Lincoln. And it just makes it fun to see those snowmobiles of old, because snowmobile, the first one, was created in 1924. I happen to be lucky enough to go back to the Snowmobile Hall of Fame, four or five of us, for an induction of a guy out of West Yellowstone named Jason Howell.
Yeah.
Inducted out of Montana.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. So, and in fact, I think we had his father on a couple of years ago, too.
You're right on. That's the only father's son ever elected into it. He went in this summer, and we all wanted to go back there. So there's six of us supported him, and his whole family went. And just to see the world that they live in the Midwest, they don't, excuse me, they know what they're missing. But our mountains are just, God bless us all that we have them to see, to ride on, to camp in, to walk in, where theirs is. There's this speed and lakes and ditch banging, as we refer to it, where our mountains just make it so much. And we all work hard to make it fun for everybody. My wife might not be the person I am, so we always have different ability rides. But we still have to have partners. So, in other words, there's a beginner ride or the beginner could have as much fun as the extreme rider.
You know what? There's some things. I got to take a break. Can you hang on for a few minutes? Because I want to come back and talk about, some of the things that you're doing at the Great Falls Club, which would be awfully cool. And then, overall, you've been around the state. I kind of want to, ask you, what's the fun spots? Well, I suppose they all are, but what's fun about the Sealy Lake area? What's fun about northwestern Montana? We're back with more Cliff Walters here today on Voices of Montana.
It's one of Montana's true gems, the Sapphire. We're talking about the classic Sapphire Motel in Bozeman, of course. How deep are these roots? Well, it was in the 1940s when travelers first pulled their vehicles right up to their motel room doors. Before interstate highways, before Bozeman was discovered, the Sapphire Motel. Get back to the days of Bozeman past. Get back to the Sapphire Motel. Authentic comfort in a classic motor inn. 310 North 7th in Bozeman.
Usually it's the U.S. Forest Service. Welcome back. Tom Schultz alongside that are doing a lot of these, but these are private clubs that are doing the grooming and because they want to have this sport. But there are 300 miles of groomed and some ungroomed trails. And then, of course, a lot of snowmobiling that is off the trails, so to speak. We're talking about that today. Cliff Walters is with us with the Montana Snowmobile Association and part of that Great Falls Snowmobile Club, too, which has been around since the early 1970s. Cliff, appreciate that. Want to talk about a few things here. Want to also talk about, because I know there's a charity event that's near and dear to your guys' heart, but take a call from Inga, listening in Kalispell. Actually, she's in West Glacier on KOFI 1180 AM. And Inga, thanks for calling. I guess some of these things brought back memories for you, huh?
Lots of very, very good memories. I don't care how cold it is. It's never too cold that you can't get on a snowcat and have a blast.
Amen.
Did you ever catch any big air, Inga?
Oh, sure did.
Oh, I knew it. Yeah.
Caught neck for it, but we always do like in groups 15 and 20. That's how many of us were on. And when power went out in town and stuff, guess who they called to help?
Yeah.
Snowmobilers.
Yeah.
You can deliver food and everything else, and hey, who wants to get paid for it? You're having a blast.
Yep, you're one of the few, Inga. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
You betcha.
Yep.
Thank you, sir, for sharing your memory.
You're welcome.
Cliff, she's from West Glacier. You been up there snowmobiling?
I have. I'd like to touch on the subject she brought up there, something else. We're members, most of us, of Search and Rescue. Even the Snowmobile Club at times isn't, but I personally and my wife are part of the Search and Rescue Club here. In the wintertime, there's that need also. for a hunter or a snowmobiler, somebody's got to go to find that person.
Yeah.
So sleds have a purpose. But, oh, yeah, she's sweet there on that. We have this nonprofit charity called TransMontana. It means that we ride across the state of Montana. And sometimes we start in Eureka, sometimes in Whitefish. We'll ride her side at Columbia Falls or the Whitefish side up at Olney. We come down to Sealy, and every single club has their sweet spots and their honey holes. And when we're in this charity, they'll show it to us. They have warming huts back in there that we can stop midday, have a lunch. And I'm speaking with all of them. It doesn't matter if we're in Lolo or we're down in West or West Fork of the Madison or wherever we are, over in DeBorgia. They're on Lookout Pass. We've had a good time over there. But the TransMontana, we ride 6 days, and we have bricking in groups of beginners or intermediate and extreme riders, so everybody can have fun. And the evening we have our comradeship together where we eat together and we talk. And every morning we have a safety meeting that we make is mandatory. Everybody has to have a beacon on because of the new world of avalanches. And we discuss what happened the previous day because we're representing somebody. You know, we don't want anybody injured, especially when they're doing a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we joined it in 2012. My wife and I, we thought, well, we'd like to see more snowmobiling because yourself, you just don't learn it. And after 1 year, so we've ridden virtually every snowmobile club in the state over the years, and each year you're six ones, and some of them will go here, and we vary two of them. We'll do Helena and Butte this year. We're going to start out in Lincoln and come here to Great Falls, and then we'll have a banquet as we finish down in West Yellowstone. And something about West Yellowstone, if somebody isn't necessarily wanting to ride a snowmobile, they also have park tours, and you can rent a sled. They'll give you the clothes or rent you. You can go in the park and stay overnight if you want at Old Faithful or come back out. Or you can get in a snow coach. And that's something to see, Yellowstone Park in the wintertime. It's the only park that allows snowmobiling in the U.S.
I'd love to do that. I think that's actually on my bucket list. I'm going to just throw this website out there because, as you talked about, your TransMontana charity benefited NAMI this last year. So thank you for that. Congratulations on that as well.
$26,000 the last 2 years we've given.
Yes, it's huge money. Snowmobilemt.org for more information to get involved there. Thanks, Cliff. Have fun this summer or winter.
Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.